The story we're reading today in Luke 19, it's really somewhat of an interruption. I am not, well, I shouldn't say I'm not a big fan of interruptions. Sometimes I like them when, you know, there's something I don't want to be doing. But I don't handle interruptions well when there's something pressing. You know, for example, like Sunday mornings, if I have a big, like a bunch of things that I'm trying to make sure because we've got an important service coming up, and then somebody comes and wants to talk, there's sometimes the thing in me that's just like it's not for any of you guys, just so you know, this doesn't happen with you. But sometimes it can be hard to see people as people, and we see people as interruptions instead of people because we've got this important thing we've got to get to. Absolutely. If I wasn't okay with it, I would not have answered it. How's that? Yeah, phone call was fine. But no, and I'd pretty much gotten everything done. But I think most of us can relate to the idea that we're trying to get something, we're trying to get somewhere, we're trying to accomplish something, and the last thing we want is somebody interrupting that. This morning, what we're reading about is an interruption. The setting for today's passage is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for what we call Holy Week. The next stuff that happens in the events of the story is the triumphal entry. And then it moves through to the Last Supper and his arrest. These are pretty significant events that Jesus is on his way to. And we already have a sense that Jesus knows somewhat of what he's moving into. He's going to an important place. He's going to be interacting with important people. He's going to be doing important work. Arguably, the most important events in human history are about to unfold, and Jesus is on his way there. And he gets hit with an interruption. So his route takes him through Jericho and on his way to Jerusalem. And on top of the events that we're about to read, he has just been interrupted. We aren't going to look at this story, but on his way into Jericho, he's interrupted by this blind beggar who wants his attention. And so Jesus kind of stops for a minute, gives him his attention, and then moves on into the city. I'm going to pick it up at Luke 19, verse 1, and read the first 10 verses. We'll hear the story. So Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He is gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." So we have some characters to look at in this story. First, obviously, Jesus, the teacher, the celebrated one, the one that all the people are following after on his way to Jerusalem, the one who's got a really important agenda that he's got to follow through with here. Everyone is watching him. Everyone's making judgments about him. Everybody's paying attention to him. He is the focal point of the events that are unfolding. Then we have Zacchaeus. He is not the focal point. He is an outcast from proper Jewish society because he is a chief tax collector. And as far as the good Jews were concerned, he was a traitor. He has turned his back on them as a people. He is working for the occupying Gentile force. He is an extortioner on top of that, using people for their money. It says, they describe him here as a notorious sinner. He is someone who is against God. He is against God's people, and he does not have a place in their society, at least not one that they like. Then you have what this just refers to as the people, the ones that are around Jesus, the ones that are following him, the ones that are paying attention to him, the ones who they like him because they sense that God's work is being done through him. I mean, did you see the guy outside the city who just was made to see? Were you there when he fed everybody from just a few loaves of bread and some fish? Have you seen how he's brought people back to life and these people have been healed? They're excited for Jesus. Excited enough for Jesus, they're actually trying to protect him. In the previous story, when they're dealing with the blind beggar, who is someone who's insignificant enough that he doesn't have a name in the story, that when he cries out, they just be quiet. Jesus is too important for you. And they try and shush him. See, they are confident that they're God's people. They can sense what God wants and what God's up to. And right now, it's Jesus. They want to protect that from these people on the fringes of society. They're confident in their place, and they're ready to join Jesus in whatever he's going to be doing. And then you read through the events of the story. And the first one is, unlike the blind man, the blind beggar in the previous story initiated the interaction by calling out to Jesus, Zacchaeus seemed to have no illusions that he would even talk to Jesus. He just wanted to see him. And Jesus stops and actually initiates this interruption. He's on his way to the most important thing in his life, and he says, you know what? I need to stop right now because the important thing right now for me is Zacchaeus. And he says, I love this. He says, I must go to your house today. Another translation is, I need to go to your house today. What for us is this interruption on the road to the most important events of history? Jesus says, actually, no, this is the important thing. This is what I need to do. And he goes even a step further by saying, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house. He's actually putting Zacchaeus in a place of honor by making Zacchaeus the host. Zacchaeus now actually kind of sets the agenda, quite literally sets the table for what's to come. And the people are not happy with Jesus. They don't gain respect for Zacchaeus because Jesus says, actually, he's my priority right now. They lose respect for Jesus. They grumble and complain. Why is he doing this? This hanging with this notorious sinner. And in terms of the events, we have no record of their conversation. Like the nosy part of me is like, I want to know what they said. I want to know what this interaction was. And we get none of that. We just get that Jesus went and sat with Zacchaeus as Zacchaeus' guest. And I don't know what happened, but I think it is significant that he went and as a guest to Zacchaeus' home, presumably sat at his table around some type of food or drink. You know, we were talking at the men's thing on Tuesday morning about the significance of what can happen when you sit around a table together. When you kind of set aside agendas and power plays and you just sit and eat together and create space for God to work among us. Something we've missed over the pandemic, and we're looking forward to being able to get back to again. But whatever happened around this table, Zacchaeus responds by committing to radical generosity and even reconciliation, that big word that Brent used in the video. You know, Zacchaeus does with his money what many others who talk to Jesus about their wealth refuse to do. Right, other people talked to Jesus about his wealth, and he talked, like, remember what we call the rich young ruler. Well, sell everything, give it to the poor. Oh, I can't do that. Goes home upset. Zacchaeus actually does this with no indication that Jesus actually talked to him about his wealth. Think about the challenge of wealth. Actually, think about the parable that Brent just read. You know, when it talks about the thorns choking out the thing that's growing, notice it says it's like the trials, the struggles, and pleasures of life that choke out the growth. We often kind of skip over that, at how much of a challenge pleasures can be to following the way of God and the way of Jesus. We don't like to give those things up. Again, there's no indication that Jesus talked to him about his wealth, but his response to Jesus was a life that it's turned towards justice, towards restoration, towards peace and rightness in the world. He's going to give away his money, and those he's wronged, he's going to give them back four times as much. That's an act of reconciliation. It's not just a, I'm really sorry. It's I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make this right. Again, in the events as you read it, Jesus then responds to Zacchaeus. By celebrating Zacchaeus, the words he uses, this is a true son of Abraham, and says salvation has come to this home today. Powerful words. You know, this one who is an outcast from the rest of the people of God, the ones who are the true children of Abraham, Jesus says, actually, this one that you have cast to the outside, he's shown himself to be a true son of Abraham today. And then he says, salvation has come to this home. That expression, that turn of phrase that Jesus uses and Luke records here, that pushes against kind of my evangelical upbringing. We're heading towards Easter. That's where salvation shows up. It's on the cross. And yet, before Jesus ever gets there, this response from Zacchaeus prompts Jesus to say, salvation has come to this home today. Just a couple of thoughts, things for us to think about and reflect on. First one is just simply, how do we respond to the interruptions we face? When, you know, when someone or something interrupts what we think is important, particularly when we're interrupted by those we consider less than or outcasts or improper. You know, Jesus' response is to actually initiate the interruption, honoring them, allowing them to set the agenda and creating space for God to work in their lives. How do we respond when we face those interruptions? Second thing for us to reflect on is just to realize that Jesus points to a life that's turned towards justice and generosity and reconciliation as evidence of salvation. He looks at Zacchaeus' response as, salvation has come here. I'm reminded of Romans 14:17. Paul writes, the kingdom of God, we've been talking about that with the parables, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Now, just thinking through this passage, you know, eating with Jesus wasn't the salvation. There's lots of other stories where Jesus eats with people and Jesus doesn't walk away saying, salvation has come. In fact, there's times he eats and walks away like shaking his head at the people he's eating with. Like, they didn't get it at all. Many of the people around Jesus had spent time with him. They'd followed him. They'd eaten with him. And yet, in this moment, their posture is one of judgment, not of reconciliation, not of peace. Zacchaeus, however, met with Jesus and was changed. His life gets turned towards goodness and peace and joy. And at that point, when that shows up, Jesus declares, salvation has come to this home today. And Zacchaeus, you're a true son of Abraham. You are really one of God's children, because look how this is playing out. In the face of this crowd around Jesus saying, you know, Zacchaeus is a sinner. He doesn't belong to God's people anymore. Jesus declared that Zacchaeus was, in fact, the one who was one of God's people. Again, thinking about just the context and the timing, Jesus is on his way to the climactic events of Easter, to the cross and resurrection. He's not gone through any of those events that we equate with our salvation, and yet here, in this humble sacrificial response of the tax collector, Jesus says, salvation has come to this home. And get this, by any account we have, Zacchaeus is still a tax collector when Jesus leaves. It's there isn't even anything where Jesus instructs him, okay, you need to stop what you're doing now. This thing that got you judged in the first place, you need to stop it. He's still a tax collector. He still works for the Roman government to get money from his own people. But salvation has come to this home. This really does push back against much of what I was raised with, because it seems that salvation is about more than the cross and resurrection. And please hear me well. I'm not diminishing the events that we are going to be remembering over the coming weeks. The cross is the culminating event of salvation history. But as we move towards it, the story of Zacchaeus and his turning towards justice and reconciliation and Jesus' affirmation that salvation has come to this house today reminds us that the events of Easter are not the whole story of salvation. Salvation breaks into the world anytime the love of Jesus overflows from us into justice and peace and restoration and reconciliation. And I do think that those things can be hollow without the cross. I'm not denying that as the climactic event. But sometimes as Christians, we can come and we can sing and we can celebrate and we can look at the cross and we can say, yay, Jesus is alive, and then walk out and there's nothing that happens. And forget that that's not all there is in the salvation that Jesus came to bring. When justice and peace and restoration and reconciliation happen in the world, it is the work of God. It is the salvation playing itself out in the world. I think that's why so many were impacted by the words of Pope Francis this past week, when he apologized for what he called the deplorable conduct of those members of the Catholic Church who engaged in evil practices against Indigenous people in Canada. We don't normally quote the Pope here, but he said this, and I think it's really important for us to recognize this. He says, the content of faith cannot be transmitted in a way contrary to the faith itself. Jesus taught us to welcome, love, serve and not judge. It's a frightening thing when, precisely in the name of the faith, counter witness is rendered to the gospel. And salvation shows up when our response moves forward the way of Jesus. We pray that in the coming months and years, we'll witness a time when the words that were spoken this week become more than just words that were spoken, and it'll work itself out that much more, and we'll be able to witness and celebrate salvation has come to this home. In the meantime, though, for us, let's join with Jesus in celebrating the ways and places that salvation is showing up in real time, in real lives, within our context. You know, we have two amazing teams of people that serve meals each month to those with food challenges in our community. Once a month, a small team prepares and serves breakfasts at the All Saints Anglican Hall. Another week of the month, a team prepares and serves lunch in the same hall. That is salvation coming to this home. This month, the lunch team is looking to prepare a special meal on the Thursday before Good Friday. And I'd be remiss if I didn't pass along that they would love to have some people join them in that, and join them potentially longer term if you enjoy it, because sometimes people go on holidays and it just becomes a challenge sometimes to make sure that it can keep happening. But The invitation is there, and with a special meal before Good Friday, if you know of anybody who could benefit from having a nice meal delivered to them that day, then just let us know. I think Guy's email is on the screen there. You can just jot that down and reach out to him if you would like to help, or if you know someone who would benefit from a meal. Some other ways salvation is showing up. You know, the Water Street Ministry, people who are on the outside, on the fringe of our society that many of us drive past and don't notice. Every time people gather there and there's a sense of community that comes together around music, it's a glimpse of salvation. I shared about one this past week on the podcast, and if you haven't listened to it, you can get that on the media page of our website. But Denise McNabb, who is fairly new to our Covenant community, she shared about what God has been doing as she's just said yes to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and it's led to the formation of a charity and some amazing work in the lives of kids and families in the Dominican. I encourage you to check that out. It's a story of salvation showing up. You know, among us, salvation shows up when we pray for each other, when we make the phone call to reach out to somebody, when we send the card, when we share a meal with those who are going through challenging times. Salvation shows up when people have made their finances available to help youth get away to the retreat that they otherwise couldn't afford. Salvation shows up when we partner with our community partners. You know, we've got Compassion Place and the Salvation Army and St. Vincent de Paul that are doing whatever they can to help people. Salvation shows up when you welcome and create space for those who are afraid or injured or vulnerable in your work context. I know we've got so many people who their lives are committed to seeing salvation show up in the care that they give in people's homes and in hospitals and in all kinds of institutional settings. And I can't highlight that enough, because if there's one thing that can work against salvation showing up, it can be institutions. And we've got people who are working against this structure to constantly see the people in front of them and see salvation show up. Salvation shows up when you respond to somebody who lashes out at you because they're hurting with love and grace and patience. I'm really looking forward to Palm Sunday next week. We're hoping to have a kids video. We've invited our kids to color and make palm branches and record themselves waving them, so we can put together a collage. That's not the right word. That's a still thing. But we're going to put together something with them doing that if we get some responses. I'm looking forward to Palm Sunday. I'm looking forward to our Good Friday service. Our Good Friday service is going to be at 10:30, and it's going to be here, and it's just going to be us this year. We were hoping to do it with the Presbyterian Church at least. They are being extremely cautious with COVID stuff and requiring vaccinations and masking for gathering, and so they've kind of opted out. So it's just going to be us this year. So it's going to be here, 10:30 on Good Friday. I'm really looking forward to that time together. We're going to be receiving communion together on Good Friday, which can be a beautiful thing. I am really looking forward to 2 weeks from this morning and Easter Sunday, where we can celebrate that climactic point, you know, on the heels of death, celebrate the life of Jesus, celebrate the fullness of salvation, celebrate this breaking through of life into human history. But as we look forward to that, may we not look past all of the seemingly smaller ways and places that God's salvation shows up through our lives as we join in the real and tangible acts of justice and restoration and peace and reconciliation in the world. Zacchaeus met Jesus and was led to respond in this way. We are invited to do the same. And when we do, we can celebrate knowing that this is salvation that Jesus celebrates and honors too. Let me pray. God, I thank you I thank you for all of the different ways that your salvation is breaking into this world. And as we look forward to Easter, may we not look past the things that sometimes we diminish, and you do not. God, we thank you that you are in all of those ways and places that peace breaks into the world. And thank you that we get to join with you in it. In Jesus' name, amen.